The West Virginia Catholic Radio Network presents Father Cody Ford's homily from the August 22nd, 23rd weekend masses at St. James the Greater Parish in Charlestown, West Virginia.
As I have spent this last week thinking, praying, and contemplating on how to preach on this day, I recognize and am grateful to the Lord for having several things coalesce on this day in particular. First, these readings for this Sunday, which I will go on about shortly. And also, these words of prayer from the Missal. These words of prayer which help to frame our worship and frame our understanding of what it means to be a church at worship. And the reason why I have tended with more care than usual for what I am preaching on this weekend is because we in the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston have experienced a very heavy cross, over the course of 2 years. And in this week in particular, we meet that cross again. It has been thrust upon us, upon our shoulders once again. We're mindful of the course of amendment that had been laid out for our former bishop to follow. And this week, one of those pieces was satisfied. Satisfied. We'll talk about what it means to be satisfied. The faithful of the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston received this past week a letter of apology from Michael Bransfield, our former bishop. If you have accessed and read this letter, I trust that you, like me, have received no sense of satisfaction from it. It is an apology without an apology. It is without a sense of responsibility. And it is more defensive than it is explanatory. And these words of his reveal to us, in measure, the nature of the man who has written them. As indeed all of our words reveal the nature of the person who delivers them, or at least they should. Now, this cross that we have borne as a church, as a diocese, like so many of the crosses in our lives, is given to us. We did not ask for it. Many did not anticipate it. And in this example, which we have lived in the course of these years, we have seen how the sins and errors and faults of one can have such far-reaching effect and harm on so many others. rippling out to far and distant corners. For some, they have suffered the confusion of betrayal. They have suffered a loss of trust in institutional leadership. Their faith in that institutional leadership has been shaken. And that is a wound. And that is harm that has been done. For others, they are closely associated and have been closely associated through the ties of love and friendship and family with those who have been more personally affected by his abuses, by his sins. And that wound runs deeper still. And at the heart, we have those most closely associated with him who suffered great wounds. Wounds of direct abuse. Wounds of witnessing the very antithesis, the very opposite of what we expect should be the model given to us by our local shepherd. And all of this woundedness, all of this hurt has left us in pain, in confusion, in dismay, in anger, in sadness, and all of these reactions, and perhaps yet still more kinds of reactions, they are justified in the face of having a massive injustice revealed. For some, this cross has been borne, as I said, for the last 2 years, when all of this began to come to light. For some others, this cross of pain and woundedness has been one that they have had to bear for much longer still. For some, received a personal letter this week from the same Michael Bransfield, another part of the amendment process. And there was likewise no apology in the apology, no sense of responsibility, a small and petty defensiveness, instead of an honest recognition of harm done. And for these who were most closely associated with him, this did not come as a surprise. And yet we remain. We remain. And as with all the wounds that we suffer, we are left to figure out what to do, how to cope, how to understand. And so what I share with you today is not empty but well-intended words to encourage, to buck up, to get over pain and hurt. What I share with you today is how I have been able to come to terms with what has happened, and find a sense of hope that helps me as a person, me as an individual, me as a Christian man, helps me to continue into tomorrow. It is a matter of public record that amongst my previous assignments, I was secretary to Bishop Bransfield. I was his sixth secretary within a 5-year span of time. This occurred when I was only 4.5 months ordained, and while I knew the difficulty that lay ahead, I was not aware of the full extent of that difficulty. I was ignorant of the darkness, the sin, and the evil that I would see at work. I was ignorant of the viciousness that could be directed towards others. And those 10 months that I had that position were very difficult and very hard to bear. And through that time, I was able to see beyond that sin, that darkness, that abuse, and hold on to something far more fundamental. And in light of that, let us turn to these readings. The prophet Isaiah comes to the palace of the king and comes to Shebna. Shebna, who is the steward of the king. Shebna, who is the steward of the palace. Shebna, who is arrogant and unworthy of the office he has received. And says, the Lord will take away from you your robe, your sash, your authority. The Lord will take away from you this office which you have heretofore occupied, and he will bestow it upon one who is worthy. He will bestow it and the keys of the palace on one who will not seek to gain from this office, but who will seek to serve. And on the surface, just being presented with that, we hear God at work in the history of salvation, addressing a wrong and making it right. And I hope that you do, as I do, find some sense of satisfaction in knowing indeed that God sees and God knows and God hears and God endeavors to make right. God endeavors to remove and to replace. And that is an important thing for us to remember. But still more important, still more fundamental, is what lies beneath this text, something that is enlightened in this gospel passage, this famous gospel passage, where Peter confesses on behalf of the apostles their faith in Christ, and poor Peter, who so frequently is wrong, is right. In this situation, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. We have seen it and we believe it. And Jesus says to him, upon this rock, upon this confession of faith, I will build my church. I, Christ says, will build my church. Christ does not fashion a church and then give it to Peter. Christ constitutes the church and says to Peter, "You are my steward." We do not have faith in Peter. That is not where our faith resides. That is not in whom our faith belongs. It is in God. It is God's church. It is God's palace. It belongs to Him. And He gives for a time what is His for others to exercise. The robe, the sash, the authority, the keys, they all belong to God. And for a time, He lends them to a steward, but they belong to Him. The church belongs to Him, not to Peter. The church belongs to God, not to Francis, not to Benedict, not to John Paul, not to Mark, not to Michael, not to Bernard, not to Leonard, not to Cody, not to David, not to James. It belongs to God and it is His. And anyone who is offered the opportunity to stand in this holy place and minister, anyone who is worth his own vocation, will be the first one to admit, "I am a mere steward. I am a mere steward. I am not here for any merit of my own. My vocation was not given to me because of anything that I deserve." And it is with fear and trembling that I stand in this place, knowing that I, as all who do, must render an account of their service to the one who judges justly. I am a sinner. I am a sinful man. I do not deserve this. I have undertaken it because God has asked me to. And so anyone else who stands and ministers in this place. In those moments of pain and darkness, this was something I was able to hold on to. This was something that gave me hope that God's justice is and will be done. That even though mankind's attempts at justice, even the most earnestly endeavored, they fall short. And in some cases, they do not satisfy at all. But God and His justice and His mercy will not be denied. And the church belongs to Him. So while we, in various ways and to various depths, have suffered wounds that we did not ask for, that should not have been given to us, that we do not deserve, we can yet still be mindful of another man whose wounds do not bring death, but life. In whose wounds there is grace and salvation for the world. In whose wounds we can find identity, that even as we suffer wounds, they too can be turned into sources of grace and salvation and strength. The strength that comes from being wounded and yet still being able to stand. The strength that comes from having been betrayed and yet choosing not to let that betrayal, not to let that sin, not to let that abuse make me a lesser man, but to push me more firmly into the arms of Christ, to follow him more closely, because those who have been wounded have seen the results of sin and choose not to repeat them and choose not to embody them. Those who have seen the darkness can choose to not be a part of it, but to take up the light given to us by virtue of our baptism, to say that even if all the world should fall dark, it need not be that way, and it will not be that way for me. Because I belong to Christ, because I serve Christ, because he is my light and my salvation, and it is to him that I look with longing for justice and mercy. And by his grace, I am permitted to cooperate in that. These are words that can belong to all of us. These are words and sentiments that can and should form our lives. That, yes, wounds, hurts, pains are dealt, and they will be overcome. We need not give in to them. And by the grace and power of God Most High, even such as these can be turned into marvelous fountains of grace and salvation, and a witness to the world, a witness to the world that God will not be overcome, and neither will anyone who entrusts themselves to him be overcome.
The preceding West Virginia Catholic Radio Network presentation was Father Cody Ford's homily from the August 22nd, 23rd weekend masses at St. James the Greater Parish in Charlestown, West Virginia. If you would like to listen to this again or send it to a friend, go to www.lolradio.org/dwc.html. For more information about Catholic Radio in West Virginia, call 304-598-0026 or go to www.wvcatholicradio.org.